Okay. The talk about long-term employment contracts. Hilchos Skiras Parlin, which is on the curriculum for this year, so we'll get to it. Mm-hmm. So there's a question. If a person becomes employed, how long is the contract allowed to be for? And what is implicated in the Shaila is the issue of Kili B'nai Yisrael Avadim. Torah says that the children of Israel, B'nai Yisrael, are Avadim, are servants, slaves. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is supposed to do the will and the desire of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avadayim lo avadim lo avadim. The slaves to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we're not slaves to the other slaves of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we're not supposed to make ourselves into indentured servants. The Torah has a parsha of Eved Ivri, that somebody who's Jewish can become a slave to somebody else. So that's only in certain circumstances. If a person is nimkam b'nei vasa, if they stole, they don't have enough money to provide restitution, then they can be sold as an Eved Ivri. Ki yamul chachicha, or as the parsha in Bahar says, if somebody is so poor that they need to sell themselves into slavery, say they're going to sell themselves into slavery for 6 years, and they'll get $50,000 a year, so they get $300,000. So that's good. So it's worthwhile. They'll get some money. So they don't have to be so impoverished anymore. They'll be able to pay their bills. So then they can, a person's allowed to sell themselves as a slave if they're really poor. If they're impoverished, then it's necessary. The Torah says if a person wants to stay longer, then they become a nirtza. They could stay up until the oval year. But the reason why they get their ear punctured is because Ozen Shashamas Be'ar Sinai K'divin Eis Avadim Lo Avadim Lo Avadim Halach B'Kana Adon Liasmo. So the ear, the heard, the Torah, right? We assume that Sarasen Dibas represents the entire Torah. What was broadcast at Har Sinai so includes the entire Torah. They heard Har Sinai. They learned this Halach and the Torah. K'divin Eis Lo Avadim. They're not supposed to be Avadim Lo Avadim. They violated that. So this person deserves to have their ear pierced. So it's not something which is considered proper to do. We see that even if the person does it, it still works. That's the whole question here as well. If a person does something akin to being a slave, which they're not supposed to do because of the pasuk "Libanei Sabbat," it doesn't work. So that's a whole discussion. And Chaskinach and others, does it work? Does it not work? So Pashtus is that it does work because that's the limud that we have from Nirtza, just like it works. The Tokos Binyamin points out it works over there, so it works over here. But the question is whether it works or not. What is the person supposed to avoid doing in order not to be like an Eved? So the Shach points out, Sivkat and Tezayin over here, that if a person is really indigent, they're really poor, so then they are allowed to sell themselves as a slave, so they can enter into a contract that would resemble slavery, because that would be permitted. So the whole question is if a person is not at the poverty line, they're not below the 200 zuz line, of being able to subside in terms of the assets that they have. So then what are they not allowed to do? There's a discussion. It's not
there, is like a basis for the head there for like why someone who's non is able to sell
themselves? So there's a basis for the head there for why is to be able to live. I mean, that's, the Torah doesn't have to justify one thing with another thing, but presumably along those same lines. So the Gemara doesn't have any explicit limitation on how long an employment contract can be, but there's a discussion in later poskim about it, and the discussion stems from a Gemara in Bava Metzia that talks about the right of a Pohel to withdraw from a job in the middle of the day or the middle of an employment term. Let's say that somebody is hired to be a Pohel. We're talking here about a Pohel. There are two types of workers. There's a Pohel, somebody who is hired for a period of time to work. They have to do their job, whatever the employer requires of them during that period of time. It's called a poel. You could be hired for 1 day, you could be hired for a week, you could be hired for a month, you could be hired for a year, you could be hired for longer. It's called a poel. Then there's a second type of position, which is called a kaplan, which means a contractor, not a daily worker or a laborer, but a contractor. A contractor is somebody who's assigned to do a particular job. They're assigned to fix the roof. They're assigned to redecorate the house. So a contractor can work whenever they're available. It's usually frustrating for the homeowner. They don't know when the contractor's going to show up. Even when the contractor says they're going to show up, they often show up 2 hours later or not at all. It's a contractor. They're in control of their own time. They're not hired for the day. They're hired just to complete the job. So that's not what we're talking about. A cobbler, for sure, is in charge of their own time. There's no resemblance between a cobbler and an eved. So we're not worried about the rights of a cobbler. But we're worried about a poel, because if a person hires themselves out to the employ of somebody else, and they're going to work for a long period of time that is akin to the amount of time that an eved would work, so suddenly they become an eved. So then they violated. So the Gemara says a poel is allowed to be chozer afidu b'chatzi yom. He's allowed to withdraw from his work even in the middle of his employment term. He was hired for 1 year at $50,000. After 6 months, he says, "I'll take my $25,000, but for the remaining 6 months, I don't want to work anymore." So let's say that the employer can only find somebody else to complete the job who will be paid $30,000. So we say it doesn't matter. The yado al elyona, we paskin that yado al elyona, that samachlokis amarayim, we paskin that the poel is allowed to receive the full amount of what he has earned before he withdrew from his employment contract, even if somebody else has to be hired at a more expensive rate afterwards. Unless the work itself that he was doing was a daba ava, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch and Simchin Lamed Gimel. If it was a daba ava, so then if there is a loss that is incurred because the work itself that he was doing is a daba ava, meaning that he was involved with soaking some flax in a large vat of water, and if the flax is left unattended to, so it's going to get ruined. So somebody has to be hired right away in order to complete the job. Otherwise, the job is going to be ruined. So in such a circumstance, we say, yado ala tahtona, that he doesn't have the right to withdraw. If he does withdraw, so then the owner can charge him for the loss that was incurred, that it took in order to complete the job of the dava oven. So that's a different story. But assuming it's not a dava oven, so then there's a complete right of retraction, afilu b'chatzi hayom. So the Gemara says, what's the reason that he has the right to retract in the middle of the day? In the middle of the employment term, t'ksev ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, because it says in Parshas Bahar that the b'nei Yisrael amai avadim avadayhem v'lo avadim la'avadim, and they're not supposed to be avadim to avadim. So the question is, what does this mean? Does this mean that in order that a poel is different from an eved, and in order to ensure that there not be a violation of this halacha v'lo avadim la'avadim, we have to give the poel rights that an eved wouldn't otherwise have. And therefore, even if an eved couldn't be chosev in the middle of an employment term, the eved has to be there for 6 years, we allow the poel to be chosev in the middle of the employment term. That's one way to understand it. It's another way to understand it. Another way to understand it is that why are we concerned about kili b'nei yisrael avadim lo avadim l'avadim? Because the poel starts off like an eved. You get the contract that you have with the poel. It's very similar to him. You hire an eved, sells himself into slavery. What does that mean? He gets paid money. He gets paid money to go into slavery. So it's like a laborer contract, and the eved has to work for a certain amount of time. And the poel does the same. He's selling himself into servitude, into laborhood, into a labor contract in which he's going to have to work a certain amount of time, and he's going to get paid for that amount of time. So therefore we say that the same way that an eved has certain rights, that an eved has certain rights, so a poel would at the very least have the same rights that an eved has. So an eved has the ability to leave his employee in the middle. Did you know that? An eved could leave. If an eved says, okay, you gave me $300,000, so I worked for 6 years, and I worked so far for 3 years, so that's $150,000. So now, for the remaining 3 years, that you paid for, I'm not going to work. I'll pay you back the $150,000. So take the $150,000 and I'm going to leave. So an eved has the right to do that. That's called giron kesef. An eved has the right to do that. So just as an eved has the right to do that, so a poel also has the right to do that. So maybe that's what we're talking about. And just like with an eved, we say the eved gets the benefit of the bargain. In fact, so much so, we would say that if an eved would work, say, for $300,000 for 6 years, so we got a good deal, right? And then after 3 years, the eved, he used to be worth $300,000 for a 6 year term of service, but now the eved is worth he's worth only $200,000. So therefore, in terms of what the master is going to lose for the remaining 3 years of the eved's work, he's not going to be losing $150,000. He'll only be losing $100,000 because right now the Eved really isn't worth all that much. So therefore, the Gemara says that the Eved, the Gemara Kiddushin says that in such a case, the Eved has the right to buy his freedom based on his current value. So he can buy his freedom with half of $200,000, only $100,000, and he gets to keep not only the first $150,000 that presumably he earned by working for 3 years, he gets to keep another $50,000. So there would be, in terms of this analysis, this chakiva that we have, there'd be a very important nafkamina in terms of this situation as well. Let's say that a poel is really, basically, he starts off as an eved, and the right that he has to terminate his employee is based on that of an eved. So now we'll say that he was working for 1 year, and his contract was $100,000, and now after a half a year, he wants to leave, so he gets for sure $50,000. Yodo el yon. But let's say that the employer is now able to find somebody else for the other half a year for only $40,000. So do we say that he should be similar to an eved? He's buying his freedom the same way, giron kesef. And just like an eved with respect to giron kesef, only would get the windfall of the cheaper rate that now is in existence, so too the poel should get the windfall as well. And even though, according to the original contract, he would only have received $50,000 for the first half a year, now it's going to be like a chote nisker type of situation. And he says, to forget my original contract, I know that I was obligated to work for a full year, but I have the right of retraction. Now I'm quitting after 6 months, and by the way, since you could find somebody else to do the rebating work for $40,000, not only do I get $50,000, but I get $60,000. So can he say that? Sounds crazy, but that's what the Torah says. The Torah says he could say that, because the din of his withdrawal is based on your own guess of it. So it makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. That's what the right is premised upon. The right of withdrawal is based on the rights that an eved has, and therefore you would get the full benefits of a departure based on giron kesef. If, however, I say, no, the right of an eved, the right of a poel to withdraw is precisely based on the fact that he's not an eved, from the fact that we allow a poel to withdraw unequivocally without any questions and so forth at any point in time. So that is what this shows, that a poel is a very different creature than that of an eved. If it would be an eved, we don't allow somebody to sell themselves into abdus. So we wouldn't allow a person to be a poel altogether unless he was very, very poor. A person, we don't find such a din. There's no such din that the only way that you're allowed to be a laborer is if you're very poor. If you're independently wealthy, you're not allowed to be a poel. There's no such thing. Everybody is allowed to be a poel, even if they're independently wealthy. It's mutter that Bloomberg wants to be mayor of New York City and work, you know, day and night on behalf of the city, even though he's Jewish, whatever. No problem. He's allowed to do it. He's allowed to be a poel, even though he's independently wealthy. So what it shows is that poel is a different bria altogether than that of an eved, and the fact that a poel can withdraw is not circumscribed based on these dinim of how an eved would leave his employ based on giron kesef. Nothing to do with giron kesef. Even the dinim of giron kesef are lechud, and the rights of a poel to withdraw are in a totally different category. So that's what the Shach says. The Shach says, I don't even begin to understand the shita. This is all on Sif, Simon Shin Lamed Gimel, Sif Gimel. Says, I don't even begin to understand the opinion of the Torah. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. That of course the poel is not going to cause additional, does not have the right to cause additional loss to the employer. If he leaves after half a term, he gets half his salary. Yodol Yona, no problem, gets half his salary. But he doesn't get a windfall if there's somebody else who could be hired for the remainder of the term at a cheaper rate. So the same machlokas plays itself out in a number of different domains. So it plays itself out with respect to the question of how long can the employment contract be. So if I say that a poel fundamentally starts off as an eved, so then I have to distinguish him somehow as an eved and say that if he wasn't poor, he can't be a full-fledged eved. So he might have did him of an eved, but an eved works for 6 years. But if a person enters into a long-term contract, which is 6 years, so then he's mamish going to be like an eved, so I can't allow him to do that. So then a 6-year employment contract is going to be a problem. If I say, on the other hand, that a poel is a completely different creature altogether, then who cares how long his employment contract is? So Tosfos says, like the second side, you look at Tosfos' source base over here. So Tosfos says, nearly to mikol makom, even though kikili b'nei salavadim, nearly to mikol makom mutar adam mahaskir atzmo, that a person is certainly allowed to hire himself out as a laborer. The daka evid ivri shinu yachal aksubo, only an evid ivri that doesn't have the right of chazara. And he does not leave before his time unless there's a shtar shechor. Over mishum avadayim. Only he is over on this principle of avadayim. So Rashash asks a question. Rashash says, what do you mean he can hire himself out because he's different from an eved ivri she'enu yachol aksa? An eved ivri also can leave in this fashion. An eved ivri can also be chosir through giron kesef. So the right to withdraw is exactly the same as an eved ivri. So why then do you say that this is distinguished from an eved ivri? So you can say that the answer to the kasha of the Rashash is exactly the same. Tosfos would say it doesn't operate through giron kesef. An eved ivri leaves, but it has to be based on principles of giron kesef. When a laborer leaves, it's not at all circumscribed or defined by those limitations. It's not based on giron kesef. But one thing that would emerge from the shita of the Tosfos is that there would not appear to be any prohibition upon a person hiring himself out as a laborer for greater than a 6-year term. It would seem that wouldn't be a problem at all. So the Gro over there, the Vilna Gaon on the side of the Gemara, and the Bamitzia Daf Yud, points out that Agos Mordechai doesn't agree with Tosfos. Agos Mordechai, Osev Yosef Mishalosh. Agos Mordechai says a person's not allowed to hire himself out for a term of greater than 3 years. So wait a second, where did 3 years come from? If I understand, like the tzad that we mentioned before, the tour and the ktsos, that a poel fundamentally starts out as an eved, and therefore we have to distinguish him from an eved in some way by not allowing him to be in the employ of the employer for the term that an eved would be in the employ. So I understand there should be a restriction on 6 years. Why is there a restriction on more than 3 years? So if you look at the Avos Mordechai in Bava Metzia, Perak Umnin.
On the Tosos?
Yeah.
Isn't the Havmin on the Tosos that it would be usher to be Masker's Asma even for minimum of the time?
Yeah. So Tosos says that the right to be Masker yourself at all is based on the fact that a poel is distinguished from an Evan. In other words, that we have a hecker that shows that a poel is different from a hecker. What's the hecker? What's the hecker? The hecker is that he has the right of chazara. He has the right of chazara without either giron kesef presumably or shtar shechor. So he has the right of departure. So if you look at the Agos Mordechai, so he quotes over here. He says he asks this exact question. He's talking about that you just asked in source number 7. It should be prohibited to be a laborer. Since we're equating the two, so he says, no. You're only considered to be an eved at the point in time in which you are there for a 6-year period. You go down to the veneer ali. We'll skip a few lines. Veneer ali, the high time of yeshizar lemalamid l'sofa shamalachos. Whether a person is a malamid or a sofer or other malachos, he should not contract to work. Nahaskir atzmo, he should not enter into an employment contract. Lios beveis balabayas, lios bekebe imo, lios samok al shulchanu. You see that he throws in a few limitations. He says that ask the mamish be like abdus. But the idea is that you've, in the olden days, let's say you had a malamid or a sofer, it wasn't like nowadays. You come into yeshiva, you give some shiurim, and you go back home. That you had private tutors, you had families that would hire a malamid to be there, and malamid would live there. Malamid would be there day and night, and would be almost like an eved in the sense that they were at the beck and call of the employer. Whether it was a malamid or a sofer, the yosef baseball advice is bekevim or samach al shulchanu. They would, like an eved, they'd be dependent upon the employer, the master for all their meals and so forth. You shouldn't allow him more than 3 years. But why not more than 3 years? Because he says that it's permissible if the person is still called a sachir. But what is the term that we refer to the years of Abdus? So we say that Ki Mishnes Char Sachir Avatcha Sheishanim. The Torah says that an Eved works Mishnes Char Sachir. What's Mishnes Char Sachir? So he understands that means two times the amount of being a Sachir. So that means that since an Eved is 6 years, a Sachir is only up to 3 years. And if it's more than 3 years, so then already that's considered to be past the point of being defined as a Sachir. And already into treacherous territory. One is already entering into Eved territory. So therefore, more than 3 years will be a problem. May not be a complete Eved, but he's already in the process of turning into an Eved. You already have, you could see sort of the metamorphosis taking place after the 3rd year. You start looking at the person, and already the face is turning into an Eved. It's the transformation has begun. Mitaras kim denafkale mitaras sachir. And then he brings a raya for this. So the Gemara on Shabbos, it talks about an other mechah shiyared migal elyon v'hiskir atzmo hisal balabayis kimol shanim. Famous story: one person working for another person. They say it was who? Rabbi Akiva. According to Midrashic tradition, it was according to the Mefarshim, they say it was really Rabbi Akiva in his early days, who was the one, the laborer from the gal elyon. He was contracting to work with Rabbi Yezim and Horkinus, but it says in the, and then when it came time for him to be paid, his employer didn't pay him, and he had to be down the kafskus, and it turned out that he really was down the kafskus, that he figured that maybe he took all his possessions and it was makdish them l'shamayim, and it turns out that's exactly what happened because he wanted to make sure that his son Horkinus would go in the right derech. So he was makdish all of his assets, and therefore wasn't able to pay the laborer right away. And the Gemara says, we see from here how you should always be the Don the Kafskus. But the beginning of the story is that the labor contract was for Gimel Shanim. And so Baba is Gimel Shanim. Says, this is the proof. Why is it only for Gimel Shanim? Because we're dealing with Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yasin Harkinus, we're dealing with Gedolei Le'olam, that there would not be Nichshol in something like this. And therefore, the Gemara is pointing out that the contract was only for 3 years, that nobody had contracts that were for more than 3 years, because that would already be in Eved territory. So how do we paskin?
Is the Mordechai here saying that we have to meet two conditions? First, the condition that he samach al shulchano bekeva imo b'li hefsik, and then the second condition that tzios from Gimel Shanim?
Al pi pashtus.
So if he's imo bekeva imo for 10 years, that's fine.
You would think so. Certainly, according to Hagos Mordechai, that appears to be the case. Yeah. It seems that he requires those conditions. However, as we'll see, there are some, including some Sofer, who understand that as having very broad applicability. I guess we may as well see right now. So the Ksam Sofer has a tshuva. The Ksam Sofer's tshuva is quoted. You look in source Yud over here. So the Ksam Sofer had a question about a rav that whether it would be okay for a rav a year to enter into a longer term contract, right? You have sometimes this notion that rabbanim enter into long term contracts. Is that something which is okay? I think Rabbi Chalak talks about how he entered into a lifetime contract with the shul. The only problem is that they didn't give the shul a lifetime contract. So he talks about would this be a problem? So he says ain shum safek. Look in source Yud Sifkat and Vav and Piskei Tshuva. Sounds very limited. That it's only in a case where he's living there full time in the master's house and he's dependent upon the employer for the meals. No. Don't think that this excludes the chachamir. Was eating on his own table. The mabekach. Who cares? That everybody in the entire kehillah, they all join together in order to hire the rav. And they give him a house. And they're paying him. So he'll be able to buy the food. So it's as if he's living with them. And he's samach al shulchanu, because they're providing his housing. They're providing for his food. So therefore, it's as if a person today says to his Eved, go to Birkul v'shar sukadome. Go, he'll take your money and go and eat and drink in a restaurant. And he's trapped He's not allowed to go to another city. That was a very sore point of contention, right? You know, in various European communities, sometimes you wanted to go out and explore and see the world. No. That's also considered mikvi samach al shulchanim. That's also considered to be samach al shulchanim. And therefore, that would be a problem. He says, Nehidah b'pachos, about 5 lines of the b'pachos megimel shanim mutter. If it's less than 3 years, that would be okay. But once you get into more than 3 years, so then that would be problematic. And he says, even according to Tosfos, that would be problematic if he wasn't able to leave without penalty. If as a result of leaving, he had to pay a penalty, so you no longer have the distinction, according to Tosfos, that he's not an Eved because he has a right of departure. No, he has a right of departure, but then he has to reimburse them for the time that he's left. So then he says that basically we're dealing with an Eved situation, and that would not be permissible, even according to Tosfos. So let's say that you had a Rava here who was not provided with his own housing. So the Rabbi Tzal Stern is Shalas Tshuvas B'tzel HaChachma, and he has two tshuvas in Simen Pei Zayin, Simen Pei Ches, and Pelet Beis of B'tzel HaChachma. I think we've quoted him before in this chavur in connection with the Los Achmud shiur that we gave earlier this year. So Rabbi Tzal, he had a very interesting story. Pelet Beis, Simen Anu, Simen Anu, Pei Zayin, and Pei Ches. He started off in Hungary, and then I think he was a survivor of the war. And then he went and he became the chief. He became a major posek in Australia. And then eventually he left Australia and he became like chief rabbi of Vienna or something. And then towards the very end of his life, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. So these tshuvas were written, I think, while he was in Australia. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. But there's Torah down under. So he wrote all these tshuvas in Australia. So he was the older brother of Moshe Stern, who was the David Siner of. So he thinks that it's lav dafka. He thinks that the same way that it's considered to be samach al shulchano, if the employer pays money to enable the employee to buy meals, so it's also samach al shulchano if the employer gives money that enables the employee to either to be able to afford rent in a house or to put a down payment on a house. So that's all the same thing. What difference does it make that whether the house is provided by the shul, the house is not where money is given to the employee, so they'll be able to afford housing. He thinks it's the same thing. The Chelkas Binyamin, Rabbi Binyamin Cohen, in his volume, Anilchas Skiris of all them, disagrees. He thinks that it's a very dafka, that it has to be akin to avdus. So therefore, it's only if there's a house. It's a big nafkamina. When I was a smicha student here, I remember that Rabbi Dworkin Zichrono Levracha was at that time the executive director, just become, I think, the executive director of the Rabbinical Council of America. And he was giving like little pieces of advice of what he had learned over the years, just watching what Rabbanim struggle with when they have sometimes a parting of ways with their synagogue, which is known to happen from time to time. He said one thing that he's learned is that it's a very good piece of advice that the rabbis should own their own house. They should buy their own house. Don't rely on the shul's giving you a house. You should buy your own house. So he used to give that advice. It's not advice which is always practical in terms of following, and it's not advice which is always followed benkach. But now we see another reason to follow that advice, that if the rabbi wants to enter into a long-term contract, won't be able to have a long-term contract if the shul is providing the house. According to the Ksam Sofer, it's only if the rabbi is able to has their own independent housing. Then it's a machlokis. How do you understand the Ksam Sofer between the Betzel HaChacham and the Chelkas Binyamin? According to the Chelkas Binyamin, this will be a nafkamina, that if the rabbi buys his own house, so then there would be more of a justification for entering into a long-term contract. But anyway, what is the halacha as described in the Shulchan Aruch? So we've described the machlokis Tosus and Agos Mordechai. The Ksam Sofer is talking about it. Obviously, somebody must have codified this halacha somewhere. So sure enough, in Sif Gimel, Simon Shin Lama Gimel. So here's the halacha where the Machaber starts out talking about the right of departure, the right of the poel to leave the job in the middle. No problem, he's allowed to do it. Now he adds something. He says even if he already had received the full schar, he doesn't have enough to pay back the Baal HaBayis, Yacholach, so bo, Be'amos, Chobolav, and then the rest of the money is considered to be a Chob, Shenemach, Libanei, So Avodim, Lo Avodim, Lo Avodim. So the Machaber starts off by saying there's a distinction between the Pala and an Eved. This is already one distinction as well, because an Eved, let's say that an Eved would leave and would want to depart with Giro and Kesef. And then the Eved wants to write a, the Eved says, I'm sorry, I don't have the money right now, I'll pay you back when I have the money. So is the Eved allowed to do that? So the answer is no. Giro and Kesef means that he has to pay the remaining amount, which corresponds to the unused portion of his term, and he has to pay that right away to the other. If he doesn't have the money available, he can't leave. So Machabe says, no problem, we allow him to leave. So the Shach points out that this is based on a tshuva of the Maharik. This is how the Maharik paskins. So the Ramah, we're going to get back to that in a second. So the Ramah says to me, Hai Taima, based on this, Asa L'Pol Apilu Malami No Sofer. So he quotes basically straight out of the Hagos Mordechai. He says that a Pol who's even a Malami or a Sofer is not allowed. Asa L'Haskir Atzmo Lios Bevayis. But the Bebe's Balabais Bekeva Shalashan. Not allowed to be there for 3 years. The Sma says, yeah, because once he's there for 3 years, he's already a Sakir. Once he's a Sakir, so then he's already in the universe of Avadim, because an Eved is 2 times a Sakir. Therefore, he can't even be there for 3 years. The Shach says, what are you talking about? If you look at the Ghost Mordecai, he's fine with being a Sakir. He says, just says, you can be a Sakir, you can't be an Eved. You can't be there. It's a typo, he says. I mean, it should be that he's not allowed to be there for more than 3 years. 3 years should be okay. The Vilna Gaon says the same thing. He says it's a typo that it should be Yotim Gimel Shanim. But Gimel Shanim itself, a Tal Sofer, Kadmet Sarach Lama Yotim Gimel Shanim. It's a Tal Sofer. It should be more than 3 years. The Sma and the Levosh, the Yershushan, assume this was not even a typo. They assume that this is already a problem. For somebody to be in the category of Sakhir. Sakhir is already removed from being a Poel who is unhinged and who is a free, autonomous laborer. Once the person becomes a Sakhir, so then already they're in treacherous territory. So Shach just assumes like the Los Mordechai, that it should be, that the only prohibition would be more than 3 years. But the Shach is a long Shach over here. This is in Sivkot and Yud Zayin, and in my Mara Mekomos, it's in Zayin of the Mara Mekomos. So he says, after taking issue with the Yershushan and the Sma, who seem to be blazing new territory of Chumrah, he says that if you look in the Sefer Be'er Sheva, this is on page 2 of the source materials, says that Be'er Sheva points out that if you look at Tosfos, it appears clear that Tosfos had no limitations whatsoever. Not 6 years, not 3.5 years, that everything is good. Masha Shemuta Filiyote, he says, Masha Shemuta Filiyote Megil Hashem. I'll go further. He says, Masha Shemuta Filiyote Mibam Shanim. Shekasu Vazel Hashanim, Ki Liban Eisa Abadim, Nir Liban Yikom Mokom, Mutal Aska Aswa, Dake Vidivish, and Yerfal Aksu, and Yosik Rasonam, Shta Shikha, Vim Shimon Vadayim. The Gamma Mordechai, he points out that even though the Hagos Mordechai, the Hagos Mordechai were the Talmidim of the Mordechai. The Mordechai lived in late 13th century Germany. He had Talmidim with the Hagos Mordechai. Look in the back, everything looks the same. Mordechai, Hagos Mordechai, but they're different. So the Hagos Mordechai took a different approach than the Mordechai. The Mordechai also is like Tosfos, that is of the opinion that since the Poel starts off different from an Eved, the very fact that he could be Chozer is a different type of Chazar. It's not based on Giron, it's a different type of Chazar. The very fact that he can be Chozer shows that he's different from a Poel, and that fact would mean that they're different from an Eved, and that fact would mean that he could also be masking himself for a longer term of time. If you take a look in Source Tesovia, I point out that it's not the Schumba of the Agos Mordechai didn't start with him. Ibn Ezra assumes it as well. In the Pasuk, so the Ibn Ezra says, if you look in Sefer Yeshayahu, there as well, it says quite explicitly, Shalosh Shanim Kimei Sakhir, saying some sort of a prophecy that's going to happen. It says, in 3 years, like the duration of the term of a laborer, a certain prophecy is going to occur. Rizuraya came, Mishus La'adam, Sheyaskar Asma, Yotam Yishal Shanim. So Ibn Ezra, who knew the Ibn Ezra is a halakha sefer? So Ibn Ezra, in his commentary to Sefer Torah, says, oh, we see, you don't have to wait for the Hagos Mordechai. He's going to, you know, live, whatever, a couple hundred years from me. Yeah, you get it from me right now. So that it's not that you see from here. But you're not allowed to hire somebody for more than 3 years, because then they're no longer considered to be a laborer. So the Chassam himself in a different tshuva, the site in the Piskei Tshuva, same Piskei Tshuva, Sifkat and Vav, so he points out that the minhag that has developed, Berov Tutzos Yisrael, most communities of Israel, he's talking about, again, hiring a rav. He says that they hire contracts of either 3 years, weren't worried about the Smani or Shushan, 3 years is okay, but he says some also hire for 5 years. So what's the basis for hiring for 5 years? So is it the shach? So he says, not just the shach. It's for the shach, you could presumably, if you're relying on Tosfos, maybe it could be even more than 6 years. But he says it's based on Rashi, because Rashi in his Perush al HaChumash doesn't interpret Mishnes Kas Sakhir as meaning that a Sakhir is 3 years and an Eved is 2 times 3. He says the Sakhir Sakhir, Mishnes Kas Sakhir, means that a Sakhir works in the daytime and an Eved is twice that. And an Eved works both in the daytime and the nighttime. It has nothing to do with 3 years. There's no mention of 3 years. So we know that 6 years is a problem, but there's no problem with anything less than 6 years. It's not as if you're only a Sakhir up until 3 years, then after that you lose the status of Sakhir, you're heading and you're morphing into an Eved. There's no such limud if you derive the Pshat, the Mishnes Kas Sakhir from Rashi. Rashi also in his Perush HaNavi, on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, on the Pasuk there, has a different taich on the Pasuk of how you understand Shalosh Shanim Kishnei Sakhir. So from Rashi, it would appear that there is no demarcation line at 3 years, and one would not run afoul of this particular halacha, what's stated by the Ramah, as long as, or that's based on Agos Mordechai, even though the Ramah says it shouldn't be Yotem Mishalosh Shanim, if you base yourself in Rashi, then you're okay up until 6 years. So he says that this is the basis for the minhag in the Shtar Rabbanus, try to either 3 years or 5 years. But then he goes further and he says that you shouldn't think that this is limiting with respect to the Rav per se. The reason why they write the long-term contracts is for the benefit of the Rav. It's sure for the benefit of the Rav that after that point in time is over, he'll be able to be chozer. So what is the Psalm self is saying? Up until that point in time, he can't be chozer? So the answer is like this. Of course he can be chozer. We can't change that din. We're not changing the din that a Paul Yachal Aksar. A Paul Yachal Aksar means he's allowed to be chozer within his employment term. So if it's an employment, it doesn't matter. Whether it's an employment term 1 day, whether it's an employment term of 5 years, whether it's an employment term of 6 years, he can always be chozer. So what exactly are we concerned about over here? So what we would be concerned about is that when he is chozer, there are certain limitations if he is within the term of his employment contract. One limitation is that if he's in the middle of doing a davar ha'avad, and when you have a rav, it could be a davar ha'avad, as you know, a congregation can't survive. You know, they wouldn't be able to function without a rav there to guide them properly. They're in the middle of all kinds of things that are going on, all kinds of crises, and the shul is just going to leave. What's going to happen to those crises? That could be very much a davar ha'avad. So if a person's within their term, then they wouldn't be allowed to be chozer if it was a davar ha'avad. Now, it's true that if they are chozer, so maybe they just have to pay the penalty. The shach says that we don't, not everyone agrees with this, but the shach says we don't compel specific performance. Even if it's a davar ha'avad, he can still leave. He just has to pay the penalty for whatever loss is incurred as a result of his leaving. Others say, no, we could even, require specific performance. And number two, that he becomes like a mechusar amana, that there could be a taromis against him. In other words, that the shul has the right, the employer has the right to have a taromis. They can't stop the poel from leaving, but they can have a grievance against them. And some say the grievance can be expressed even in a very public fashion. There are different opinions about whether it can only be a grievance that one mumbles privately or even publicly. And some say it can even be broadcast in all the newspapers. Look at what a louse our rav was, that he committed to being here for 5 years. I said, now he's leaving in the middle. So therefore, in order to give the rav some wiggle room, if he doesn't like the job, that he shouldn't be subject to davar ha'avad restrictions, he shouldn't be subject to taromis consequences. So we say, after 3 years, after 5 years, well, we'll let you leave without any repercussions. There are davar ha'avads in the work, it doesn't matter. There is nobody's allowed to have a taromis against you. But he says, from the standpoint of the shul, of course, it goes without saying that a shul is never allowed to release their rabbi. That's for sure. You can't fire a rabbi. He says that Amnam the Medinos halalu lo nishma lo nira me'olam. In our Medinos, this was a good place for a rov to live. Lo nishba lo nira me'olam. My ancestor was the Bach. I think that he got fired from five or six different communities. He says, "Berdina salalo lo nishma lo nira me'olam shisiu a rov." We never heard that a community would get rid of a rov. What in Pressburg? But we do mikise rabbanu shalom, and that they would cast him down from his pulpit. And such a thing should be completely inconceivable that it would be done within the Jewish community. So it's also a question as to whose benefit this was for. The Aruch HaShulchan, by contrast, says that the long-term contracts were the source test book. The long-term contracts were for the sake of the city, for the sake of the employer, for the community. He says, "V'chein nagu b'chol tfutzas Yisrael." This is in the Siman Shin Lamed Gimel Sif Tesvav. There's man shekovenu l'man ahir. Says we love the rav too, but this was but the employment terms were for the sake of the community. Sharav lo yaksa bo tochas man, because they didn't want the rav to be chosen. Now it's true, he says, that the rav could be chosen. The medini yaka laksa mikomakom avi mechusar mana v'yesh lem alav taromis. But there would have been the problem of taromis. So therefore, they knew that the rav wouldn't want to become a mechusar mana. Wouldn't want to become known as somebody who doesn't honor his word, even though he had the right of retraction, because they were reasonably confident that he wouldn't want to incur a bad name, therefore the contracts were for the benefit of the ear. But either way, whether for the benefit of the rav, the benefit of the ear, or both, this was a restriction that was largely followed. But again, it hinges on this point. So the Shakir and Sivkot and Yitzayim quotes Tosfos, and he points out, as we mentioned before, that according to Tosfos, it would not appear that we would have this restriction altogether. And if you look in the Bi'ur HaGro over here, so the Bi'ur HaGro also makes this abundantly clear. He says, Ayin Tosfos is a Sivkot in your base. Ayin Tosfos, one second. No. At the very, very end. The Bi'ur HaGro at the very end. He doesn't go Tosfos. Because the Mordechai Cholei goes there. V'chein Kasutos, he does go Tosfos. V'chein Kasutos, he said, points out, the Mordechai and Tosfos would disagree with this din entirely, and that's basically what the Vilna Gaon was pointing out in the Bi'ur HaGro in Bava Metzia as well, in Daf Yud. So if we go back now to the beginning,
isn't Chassam Sofer saying that the contract is Tovas HaRav to explain why there's no problem of the Rav being like an Eved, right? Even though it's a long-term contract, because it's the Tovaso.
No, we've avoided the problem once we don't have an employment contract for 6 years, or according to the shita of the Hagos Mordechai, once it's not for more than 3 years.
But here it is.
But I think
three.
No. But he's saying that if you follow Rashi, so that if it's 5 years, then it's fine. Yes, I agree.
Another
Sam Sofer is saying, in fact, that this would be like another sniff. He's using it as a sniff. The Aruch HaShulchan is saying you don't necessarily have this as a sniff, but it would be permissible anyway because of the fact that you don't have a 6-year employment term.
Why is it obvious that just because the contract is for his benefit, that removes the problem of it being mirik avdus?
I think for the very reason that the Aruch HaShulchan says, so because of the fact that it still does restrict him. Meaning, even if that's not what the Chassam Sofer is focusing upon, I don't think the Chassam Sofer would disagree with that notion, that it still is, he still is restricted in the sense that he, and the Chassam Sofer, by the way, says the same thing. Chassam Sofer says that it's the Tovas HaRav. In what way is it the Tovas HaRav? It's the Tovas HaRav that he'll be able to be closer afterwards.
Right, no, I understand. So I'm saying, why does that obviate the problem of Kili Bnei Shal Avadim, Below Avadim, Avadim?
What is what obviate the problem?
The fact that the contract is Lotovaso.
So I don't think it does. Meaning, I think that the main thing that obviates the problem is that the contract is for less than 6 years.
No, but we're going within the day. 3 years is a problem.
No. Because if you take a look, here the Chassam Sofer says, he quotes before in 4 lines earlier. Says Achrashi b'chumish al pi sifri pirish mishem mishnes chas sakir imkain in a mukha klasa yotim gimel shonim akshal yei moskul shei shonim. So the Baal Kain yesh kosin shtar b'as al gimel shonim yesh alchav shonim mostar mi kosin. But I think
that
again, maybe you could argue that it's some sort of a sniff that there's some tova, but it's certainly not an independently sufficient reason, and it's not even one that is, it's neither necessary nor sufficient. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So, if you go back now to the beginning of the sif that we quoted about the Be'ein V'yada L'shalim L'bala Bayis, so it's so over here, with respect to the Poel who does not have the money, as the Mechaber says, quoting the Ma'arik, really, that even in this case, the Poel would be able to be Choser. So it's so sif katan vav points out that if I really understand that, like we had quoted before, the Shita of the Torah and so forth, that the basis of the ability of a Poel to leave is based on Giron Kesef, so then it so notes in Sifkat and Vav that same restriction that the leaving has to be based on Giron Kesef should require that the Poel really does have the money when he leaves, and otherwise, if he does not have the money when he leaves the employ of the Baal HaBayis, then he should not be allowed to be chozer. So therefore, he says this mechaber seems to be going against that shita that we quoted in the Torah, and that the Ksos himself liked that shita. So he says this particular mechaber seems to be going against that approach, and the Nesivus in the Sifkatan. And the Biurim Sifkat and Vav says exactly the same thing. Says that the Ma'arik is going more along the Ma'arik quoted by Tosfos is going more along the lines of Shita's Tosfos, as opposed to the Shita that we quoted from before, which equates the Eben and even the Shita of the Ramo over here, which seems to equate the notion of how we view a Poel to that of an Eben. Which we'll call the Shitas Maharam, quoted by the Hagos Mordechai, and similar to the Shitas of the Hagos Maimoni, which is the one who is quoted by the Tzos in the previous discussion regarding the equation of the way a Poel departs to the fashion in which an Eved departs with Giron Kesef, and that's why he would get all the benefits of a departure of Giron Kesef as well. So he says that this Shita of the Mechaber seems to be going along those lines, in which case that the Mechaber's Psak seems to be going in one direction, and the Ramah's Psak going in a different direction, insofar as the Ramah is concerned about somebody who starts out as a Poel going too far along and thereby becoming a full-fledged Eved. If we would say that, like Tosfos, that he starts out as a Poel altogether, so then there would be room to not adopt this chumrah of the Ramah. Now the Vilna Gaon, with respect to the first part of the sif of the Mechaber, so the Vilna Gaon, where is this? He says Rapilu Kibel. So the Vilna Gaon says, well, maybe not. Maybe you can even equate this shita of the Mechaber with the approach of the Nagos Maimoni. With the understanding that the Poel does have some sort of an identity with an Eben. So why then we make a lobby here? So he says, the Mindamila Eben, Kamashikasu, Shinemar, as it says, Kalibane Solabodin, the Eben Ibi, Yotsepigiron, Kesef, Aminamakidushin, Dab Tezayan, and Aleph, Haishtari, Kidami, and the Gemara over there in Kidushin, and Dab Tezayan, says that if the Shtar, he says that an Eben Ibi can be Yotsepishtar. And then the Gemara has a discussion. What does it mean that the Eved Ivri is Yotze B'Shtar? And the Gemara says, well, it can't be a Shtar that's written with respect to that, like an IOU Shtar. It has to be more of like a Shtar Shechura type of thing. Because if it would be, that's given by the master to the Eved. Because if it would be an IOU Shtar, so then he says that's the same thing as Giron Kesef. So the Gemara says, oh, so we see that you can have an IOU Shtar. And that's equivalent to Giron Kesef. So that's what we're talking about over here. So in the Sefer Mishpat HaPoel, he asks a question, but we don't find that the Mechaber spells out that there has to be a shtar given. When the Mechaber says, Yokol Aksebo Ve'mos Kovalov, the Mechaber doesn't say that an IOU shtar is presented. And we don't find, he says, anywhere in the postgame that this has to be accompanied by an IOU shtar. I would go even further and point out the following. If you look at the Rashba in the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Tes Zayin, so the Rashba says that the notion of being able to write a shtar on the as an IOU for the Eved to go free is rejected in the final analysis of the Gemara. Once the Gemara comes to the maskana that the meaning of shtar is shtar shifra, given by the master to the Eved, not an IOU shtar, given by the Eved to the to the master, but rather shtar shifra from the master to the Eved. So the Gemara is rejecting the havamina that the shtar means that you write a shtar on the money. And the reason for that is because there is an assumption in the maskana of the Gemara. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that an Eved is gufo kanoi, that an Eved is considered to be gufo kanoi to the Adon, and once the Eved is gufo kanoi to the Adon, that's why it's not sufficient for the Eved just to say, lech mi madi, you shall no longer be employed with me. He has to actually give him a shtar shechor. So we see that there's a kinyan aguf. Once there's a kinyan aguf, so then writing a shtar on his money is not going to work anymore. So it could be what the Gra is saying is that there's an intermediate position here. Right now we discussed one position, which is that the pole is basically an Eved, and therefore we can't have him be in serve in that capacity for a full term of an Eved, because that would be a violation of the halacha of libnei solavadim. And the other sheet is, no, pole starts out, it's an Eved, precisely because he has the right of chazorah. It's not like an Eved at all, it's no comparison with an Eved. There's a third possibility, which is that he has the dinim of an Eved in terms of how he leaves and so forth, and what his rights are and so forth, but there's no kinyan aguf, as opposed to that of an Eved. So if we say like that, so we understand what the Vilna Gaon is getting at. That even if in the maskana of the sugya, it's not possible for somebody, for an Eved, to go free by paying a shtar on the remainder of his money as an IOU, that's only because there's no kinyan aguf. However, if you have somebody where you have a situation where somebody has the din of an Eved, but there's no kinyan aguf, so then it would be possible to write a shtar in this fashion, but the effective method through which the person is leaving the employment would still be the method of giron kesef. So that's what we would say according to this intermediate shita. In other words, that there are dinim, that the dinim of a poel are essentially defined in terms of the rights that apply to an eved, and we apply those same rights to a poel. However, there's one major distinction between a poel and an eved, namely that with respect to an eved, there's a kinyan aguf, and with respect to a poel, there's no kinyan aguf. That would explain why you have this concept that the question. So you'll ask the question, so why indeed then do we not write a shtar in these circumstances? And the answer is because we don't pass like either of those shitas. We pass in like the third shita, the most makel shita, namely that fundamentally we can argue that we pass in like the shita of Tosfos, the shita quoted by the Shach, because just like when the Eved leaves, he doesn't get a windfall of Giron Kesef. When the Poel leaves, he doesn't get a windfall of Giron Kesef like an Eved. If the employer can hire somebody else at a cheaper rate, he doesn't get the windfall of the difference. So we also don't really treat him as an Eved for other purposes. When he goes free, he's not going free based on Giron Kesef at all. And that's why we don't find that the shtar is required. But in Akinami, there could have been such an intermediate approach of requiring a shtar. So why then are we machmir like the Ramah not to allow employment for more than 3 years? So the answer is, it could be that we're not necessarily machmir like the Ramah. There were many shitos, even around the time of the Ksam Sofer. For example, the Toras Chaim. Toras Chaim is known as the Rav who wrote on the issue of abortion. The famous Shuvas on the issue of abortion. So he also writes on this as well, in the Shailos HaShuvas Toras Chaim. So he also says that fundamentally we don't really pass like this Ramah. Fundamentally we really pass like Tosfos, and we really would allow long-term employment contracts, but not only more than 3 years, but even more than 6 years. That's something which presumably could even be countenanced the way that we hold Me'ikar Hadin. However, there is also the extreme Shita, which would say that a Poel is not only compared to an Eved in terms of his rights of departure and the way in which it has to track your own kesef, but we would actually say that there is a kinyan haguf even with respect to a poel. That's the most extreme shita, that there's even a kinyan haguf that an employee would have with respect to a poel. Now, presumably, we would only apply this, of course, to the type of scenario that was discussed by the Argos Mordechai, where the person is samach al shulchano, where the person is bekeva, bebais ba'al habayis, without any stop and so forth. But as we saw, the Ksam Sofer kind of expanded that category. But this has ramifications with respect to two other halachas. One halacha is that is brought in by the Ramah himself in Sifkatun in Sifkes at the end of Simin Shin Alam Gimel, where the Ramah talks about, can you terminate a poel in the fashion that you would not be able to terminate an Eved by just saying Tsemi Madi, Lechmi Madi? Can you do that, or is there it necessary to give over an actual shtar, for example? So the Rama says that as a general rule, where there's a special exception for Malami for other reasons because of the shibud of the nar, but as a general rule, he says, B'sha po'al, im omal lo b'fnei shnayim, if he said in front of Edim, lech mi madi, pata v'lo makila, then that is the end of the story. That counts as a termination. The Eved, the Poel, is no longer responsible, even if it would be a Dava of it, he's no longer responsible to come back to the employ of the Baal HaBayis, that the Baal HaBayis would change his mind. So if you look in the Shach there in Sifkatan Mem Zayin, so Shach quotes the Maharam as disagreeing with this. He says, Rapagadim Dibri Maharam, Shebeshuvas Maharam de Pusprag, Beshuvas Rashba, Mashma da Pilu Bisha Poel, Lo Mahani Ma'omel Olech. That's because they own what? Mishum de gufo kanoi lo kamevet ivri. Because we assume that a poel goes so far as to be gufo kanoi, mamish like evet ivri. To mendami poel le evet ivri. Certainly, if you hold that the poel is mamish like even gufo kanoi. But Sosa, when he defends the Torah Shita, doesn't go so far as to say it's gufo kanoi. And the Sosa stops short and says it's not gufo kanoi. But the Maharam says he's mamish gufo kanoi. So says the Shach mikol makom nira. The lo kaimalan kemaram beha the pshita the nehida po yeshlo din eved ivri haimal kula that there are certain kulos that apply shiokol aksibo aval lo shiye gufo kanoi lo but not that his guf would be kanoi, and he alludes to a tosfos in kiddushin daf yudzayin. What's the tosfos in kiddushin daf yudzayin? This is another question of how far we compare a poel to an eved ivri. So the gemara in kiddushin daf yudzayin over there says that if, let's say, I hire an Eved for 6 years, and the Eved gets sick for 3 out of the years, but he worked for 3 years. So since he worked at least for 3 years, so says Tosfos says the Gemara. The Gemara says that since the Eved worked for three years, so 3 years counts, as we've said before, as a Sochir, and an Eved is only obligated to serve as a term as a Sochir. If he was able to work the full 6 years, it would be Kimishneh Sochir Sochir. But at least he got into the Sochir territory by working 3 years. So even though he was sick, unfortunately, for the remainder of the 6 year term, he doesn't have to return any of the money that was given to him for purposes of his servitude, and everything is all fine and good. He discharged his obligation as an Eved. So Tosfos quotes that there are those who wanted to say that the same should be true with respect to a poel. That if somebody hired a poel, and that the poel was hired, say, for a 6 year term, and the poel got sick after 3 years, that there would be a requirement of paying the poel for the full amount of time, because after all, the poel is like an Eved. So Tosfos says, that's crazy. I disagree. There's a major distinction. What's the major distinction? That there are certain responsibilities that accrue to an Eved that would not accrue to a regular poel. Since an Eved is gufo kanoi, since it's actually a kinyan, a goof, that the master makes an Eved, so if it's a kinyan, you have an ownership of something or somebody, that requires more responsibilities. Therefore, we would say that it's almost nistachma sadeu, if the Eved got sick for 3 years out of the term, as long as he worked for 3 years, the other would have to swallow the loss for the rest of the term. But a poel is not an indentured servant. There's no kinyan aguf. There's not gufo kanoilo. And therefore, he says this thing would not apply to poel. Poel is entitled to get paid for the 3 years that he was well, but he's not entitled to get paid for the remainder of those 3 years. All right? So that's another nakamina as to whether you understand that he's gufo kanoi or he's not gufo kanoi. So if you take the approach of Tosfos, there would be no obligations in all of these cases. You would have the following nafkaminas ledina. Number one, you would say that the poel, since he could be chozer, he could be chozer without any reference to the dinim of giron kesef. If there would be somebody else who could be hired at a lower rate, then it wouldn't affect the amount that the poel got paid. He wouldn't get paid the higher rate like an eved. And so too, if the poel got sick 3 years into his, say, six-year term, then the poel would only be entitled to payment for those 3 years and would not be entitled to additional payment. Furthermore, you would say that the din, that we would restrict the term of the employment contract would not apply to a poel, and that the poel certainly could be hired for more than 3 years, and according to Tosos, it's mashma, even more than 6 years would not be a problem in terms of the employment term of the poel. And we would also say that in a case clearly where the adam said, lech me'imadi, if he would just say, you're out of my employ, we would certainly paskin, like even the Ramah is makel on this because there's no king in Aguf. So therefore, one would be able to discharge a poel under those circumstances. Okay, and we would say just fundamentally that there is no, we would say fundamentally as well that if he was able, if he left and he wasn't able to pay up his entire debt right away, not only would we allow him to leave, but we also would not require the writing of a shtar, like the Vilna Gaon suggests. We also would not require the writing of a shtar for the Eved to have to present the shtar to the master in order to enable him to, the poel to leave from his master. Let's say the poel got paid the full amount of his term and he leaves in the middle of the term and he's not, and already spent the money and he's not able to reimburse the money. So we would paskin like the Maharik that it would not be necessary for the poel as a prerequisite of his leaving to reimburse the Odin for the money. That would just be a hope that he would have, and he wouldn't even be obligated to provide a shtar for that amount as a prerequisite for his being able to leave, even though obviously the master could take him to a Din Torah to get his money back if he paid him the full amount. But these would all be nachkaminas of this general chakira. Now, within this chumra of the Ramah, there might be a nachkamina as well. The Tzos in Sifkatan Zion brings a machlokis, brings a shita of the Chavos Yair that he disagrees with. The Chavos Yair in Simen Kof Mem talks about a chazan that had entered into an employment contract with his kehila, in which the chazan agreed that he would work for a 6 year term. And now the chazan wants to get out of his shvuah. So the Tzos disagrees with. So the Chavos Yair says that he can't get out of his shvuah for a variety of reasons. One reason is that he took a shvuah, and the iser for a person to be employed for 6 years, he says, is only an iser d'rabbanan, as opposed to an iser d'araisa. It's only an iser d'rabbanan. Now this could work out very well. Everyone asks, what do you mean it's only an iser d'rabbanan? It should be an iser d'araisa, because we have a pasuk, libnei yisrael avadim, lo avadim, lo avadim. So isn't that an iser d'araisa to work for a 6 year term? So if we say that the Ramah himself is basically just stating a chumrah, because with respect to other dinim, we don't treat the poel as if he really is an eved. So then we could potentially say that maybe this proves that this is like just some sort of a drabbanan, because we want to remove any semblance or trace of relationship to an eved. It's not us and miyikar din. This is only an issa drabbanan. So Chavos Yair assumes it's an issa drabbanan. So that could be another nakamina, whether it's an issa d'araisa or whether it's an issa drabbanan. So number one, he assumes it's only an issa drabbanan, and therefore we don't allow a person to be mebatel a shvua in order not to be over on an issa drabbanan, especially, he says, because this is only an issa b'shei b'altase. Why is it only an issa b'shei b'altase? The Tzos says that it's permissible for him to violate a shvua for that reason, because it's only a shei b'altase, because the fact that the person continues to work is not the issa itself. The issa would be if he would then be chozer on his contract, So the fact that he's working itself, the yisr is that he's not going to be chozer. That's a shame be'altase. The fact that he's not going to be chozer, he's just going to continue until the end of the term based on his shvua. So that's a shame be'altase. So we don't allow a person to be mivatel his shvua in order not to violate a shame be'altase be'isr derabbanan. And so says that whatever yisr he violated, so that was already violated when he entered into the stipulation, but the avodah itself is not a violation. The Chavos Yair says something else. The Chavos Yair says something which is very, very fascinating. He says that the Chazan, the reason why the Chazan would be allowed, he says that the Shua stands. And this is because a Chazan is not an Eved L'Avodim. A Chazan is holy, sacred work. Because a Chazan is Eved L'Hashem. He's fulfilling Kabeis Hashem Mihoncha, Atikre Mihoncha, Ela Migroncha, that he is doing the service of a Kodesh Baruch. We just ask any Chazan. Ask them, who are they working for? Are they working for the congregation, or are they working for a Kodesh Baruch Hu? They'll tell you, they're working for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The congregation's upset, they're going on too long, repeat, that doesn't matter. They're working for, they know how to do it, because they're serving the true master. They answer to a higher authority. They don't answer to anybody else. So that's a chazan. So he says, it's a chazan, it's an eved l'Hashem, so when it comes to serving Hashem, none of these restrictions would apply. You don't have the Yisr altogether, and therefore it would be perfectly okay for him to serve in a long-term capacity. Now, that, the Tzov says, what are you talking about? You look in the Ramah, what are the paradigmatic cases that are described by the Ramah as coming within this Yisr? So he says the paradigmatic cases are the case of Melame and Sofer. That's what the Ramah says. Aser lepal afila Melame o Sofer. And isn't that a Avodas HaKodesh work? So the Tzom says that you can't argue that it's not a Avodas HaKodesh, that just because a person does a Avodas HaKodesh, that this means that they are untethered from their immediate employer. Rather, they could do their Avodas HaKodesh without their employer, but they choose to be miskashia themselves, to bind themselves to this employer, so therefore they would be subject to these various dinim. You look at the Kesef HaKodesh, the Kesef HaKodesh says, well, maybe according to the Chavos Yair, you can distinguish between a Melameh, that he can, you know, teach Torah whenever he wants. He can decide who he's going to teach Torah to, or Sofer can decide what tefillin and mezuzahs he's going to end up writing. But a chazan, we have a din, that if a person is drafted by a tzibur to be the chazan, you're not allowed to refuse. You refuse the first time, the second time, the third time, you can't refuse anymore. So a chazan, therefore, has no choice. They're obligated. We have a whole medrash, I think the Torah discusses that Navos was punished because of the fact that he had a beautiful voice and he didn't go up to the Beis HaMikdash for Aliyah L'Regel so that people could benefit from his voice, and that's why he ultimately met with downfall. So we see that there's a real genuine responsibility that somebody has the ability to be a chazan to discharge that responsibility. So it's not so partial. Even when the Miskashir L'Acherim, it's part of their Avodas HaKodesh, part of their Avodas HaKodesh Baruch Hu, that they have to be Miskashir L'Acherim. But it could be that the way in which the Chavos Yair looks at this is that this is more of a kind of Chumra B'Alma, essentially like Tosfos. And therefore, there is some way to escape the Chumra based on an argument to say it's not really... I already have a Heker. I have a Heker because I can already distinguish this case and say this person is an Eved La Hashem and an Eved La'Avodim, so there's more room to be Mekel. As opposed to the opinion of Tzos, who is more noted to say that the dinim of Poel are more closely aligned to the din of an Eved in general, in terms of that the Yitzhiya really has to be in a fashion of Giron Gezer, etc., etc. So it will make more sense to say that we have more room to be Machmel, unless we can find other reasons to be Mekel, which, you know, he found in the sense that he said the Yisr has already been violated, so there's no additional violation that is committed through the continuing Avoda. Now, if you look in source Yud Beis here in the materials, I have here in the Hagos Imre Bach. So Hagos Imre Bach says all of this explicitly. You don't have to only rely on me. He says that this whole inyan with respect to the hiring out of a long-term employment contract is directly linked to the whole question of these other machlokasim of how do I treat the poel. Do I say that a poel is essentially in the same category as Eved Ivri, or that a poel starts out already with a different identification? So he says, Zedas Maharam, that the Ramah who's being machmir over here and saying that a poel cannot hire himself out for more than 3 years is going to the Maram who azla shitaso shesover degam bepol malamed lo nimchal hashibud. Remember the Hagos Mordechai quoted the Maram, so he says that it's the same Maram who said that there's a kinyan aguf on an eved. Ba'omer lo lech mei madi the dama bezel din eved ivri. Therefore, gam akopanim gam bepol sas kinyan aguf could get there's a sas kinyan aguf with respect to the way that we understand the relationship between an employer, a balabayas, and a poel. Leshitas haTosfos, but according to Tosfos, the kiddushin in the sugya of eved shechola, where the question that Tosfos discussed was, do we compare, analogize the case of poel shechola to the case of eved shechola? Where Tosfos quoted the yesh mishamu that we do, and Tosfos said that we don't. So according to that Tosfos, as well as the Tosfos in Bava Metzia, with respect to a poel being in a totally different category because he has the right of chazara. Keeping the poel yochol aksur, this the fact that he's kosher is not that he's an eved, therefore he could be kosher. No, the fact that he could be kosher shows that he's not an eved. Keeping the poel yochol aksur ve'en gufo kanoi ein isur afke shemaskir atzmo lizman oroch. So he uses the lashon that we're looking for. Zman oroch. Zman oroch meaning whatever it is. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is. Rakta efshaloma oroch. Okay, so that's... Then he just brings in the question of whether I have dava avud considerations. So this is very important to bear in mind when you're dealing with the actual shilos about these types of situations. When I went to Chicago and they wanted me to sign a contract with the CRC, so they asked me to sign a 5-year contract. So I had to research this issue: is it appropriate to sign a 5-year contract? So basically, Sam Sofer, he says the Menhagim, so there's a lot to rely upon. Number one is Tosos, it says everything is permissible. Number two, or it implies as much. Number two, certainly in the way it's understood by Yagos and Rebach. Number two, it's less than 6 years. So according to the Shitas Rashi, that's quoted, you're okay up until you have an actual 6-year contract. And number three, you have the Shita of the Chavos Yoyer, that whenever you're involved in a Bodhis HaKodesh, you're really an Eved Lashem. So you have all of those different considerations, so it's okay to enter into that type of a contract, I would think. Now, a very interesting tshuva, I'll get to the B'tzeil HaChokma. So the B'tzeil HaChokma brings 5 different reasons for being Mako. His situation was what he described as a common scenario in Australia. That they need somebody desperately because they don't have a very large community over there. So they need somebody to serve as a shochet, they need somebody to serve as a rab, they need somebody to serve as a malamed, and it's a tremendous expense to bring the person there and so forth. And the question is it permissible to enter into a long-term contract because they want to bind the person to remain there, at least from either a daba avod or a mechusar amana perspective, that a person should feel obligated to remain there for the duration of that term. So he says that there are 5 different reasons to be makel. Number one, there are many poskim who paskin like Tosos, the Tosfos, the Shev Yaakov, the Imre Yesh. He rattles off a number who paskin like Tosos, that there's not, we're not really in this altogether, you don't have to be machmir per se like the Ramah. Number two, that remember the shach that we started with in Siv Kelton Tez Zayin says whenever a person would be allowed to sell himself as an Eved, so for sure he'd be allowed to enter into a long-term contract. Remember, when you sell yourself as an Eved, you could even sell yourself for more than 6 years. It could be 6 years, it could be more than 6 years, but you could sell yourself for however long. So he says, at least initially, so he says that in this respect, often the people who take the jobs down here and are willing to go down to Australia, often it's because they really need the money. And he says, particularly, the Chavos Yoyer actually mentioned this as a consideration too, that like dealing with a chazan, he says, often chazanim, they're great at being chazanim, but they're chazanim because they can't be anything else. I mean, obviously we know it's not true. There are many chazanim who are capable of doing lots of other jobs, but sometimes it's true. Sometimes you have a chazan who's not able to sustain another job, and therefore they're in the category of ani. So therefore, if they're in the category of an ani who has to hire himself out, so obviously he'd be able to enter into a long-term contract. Number three, he says, by and large, these people are not somech al shulchan. Certainly, if you understand that somech al shulchan means that the person has to be mamish living in the house of the Baal HaBayis, they're not Samech al HaShulchan. Even according to the Ksam Sofer, that a person is Samech al HaShulchan, even when he's just like a communal servant, it could be that he would only be considered to be a Samech al HaShulchan if he was actually provided by the community with his own house, but not if he bought his house. So that might depend on circumstances, machlokas. Tel Chachma is noted, I think the Ksam Sofer would be Machmir in this situation. Okay. Because he quotes the Lechem Rav from the Lechem Mishnah, who held not like the Ksam Sofer, that as long as the person's not living in the house, they're not considered to be Samech al HaShulchan. You have to admit, that's the Pashup Shad understanding of the Agos Mordechai, that the person is Bekeba in the house of the Baal HaBayis day and night without stopping Samech al HaShulchan. Number four, he says that an Eved works for a straight, uninterrupted period. Let's say that you stagger the terms, that you have one term that's 3 years, and then as soon as that is over, or you have a term the person works for 3 years, then they take a month off, and then you start another 3-year term. So it says as long as you can stagger it, and none of the specific contracts and more than 3 years or 5 years, whichever shita you would follow, so then you also don't have a problem if you interrupt it. And because you don't have a problem if you interrupt it, so he says, so we're free and clear in almost every hiring situation nowadays, because everybody gets
vacation.
Says, given that everybody gets vacation, therefore you never have a problem, because the vacation itself ensures that the vacation is only a 3-year term. So the vacation itself ensures that the person is not going to work in an uninterrupted fashion. They ask the kashrut. He says, but what the example the Rama gave was that of a sofer. A sofer gets a vacation every Shabbos and every Yom Tov. He can't write on Shabbos and he can't write on Yom Tov. So he says that's not a vacation the employee is giving him. That's a vacation of Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving him. But here you have a built-in vacation the employee is giving him. The Chelkos Binyamin, not so taken by this story. So it's the same way that an employer is obligated to provide certain benefits. An employer also has to give vacation, but it's all part of the miskeret of the framework of the avoda. So he's not sure that the mere fact is a vacation provides for an interruption in the employment service, but the Sela Chachma is very, very keen on this idea. And finally, he says, so those are the five reasons that he gives. And he says, and certainly if you combine those five reasons with Shitas Rashi, and you make sure that the employment contract is for less than 6 years, so then for sure you're going to be scot-free. So he says that certainly then, if the employment contract is for less than 6 years, that one can rely upon all these different kulos. The Pesachei Choshen, interestingly enough, says that there's a different reason why nowadays, when he was writing, Pesachei Choshen was Nifter just maybe a couple of years ago. So Pesachei Choshen of Yaakov Bloy, he was really probably one of the most important writers on Choshen Mishpat in our generation. I don't think that I know of any Dayanim who passing cases on a regular basis, who don't routinely look at to see what the Pesachei Choshen has to say about some sugya in Choshen Mishpat. So Pesachei Choshen, if you look in Sifkot and Yud Zayin, says V'nirashlo asel v'pol nimsav v'kfiyas v'veis v'alavai sesamach ha-shulchano. Again, hearkening back to the Agos Mordechai, if you're going to be machmir about this, then it's only if the pol is nimsav v'kfiyas and isamach ha-shulchano shenasek eved ivri aval poel ha-ovid kamashos b'yom ha-balai v'chos l'veis o'yom ha-leisr. Then any poll goes back home at night. He says it's not going to be included in this system altogether. Certainly if he bought or rents his own home, and he's not a communal servant. Sam Sofer was mostly Machmir the Bedavka about the communal servants. He said not a communal servant, and he goes back home every single night. So he doesn't think that there's a problem whatsoever of the long-term employment contracts. Nowadays, after the Pesachei Choshen, you have to revisit the Shita, because it could be that nobody really goes home anymore, because everybody takes the work with them in the form of their smartphones, the Blackberries, and so forth, that they have to be reachable around the clock 24 hours, that they get an email at 3 in the morning, they're expected to respond to it. So I'm not sure that we have the same concept as we had when I started working in the early 1990s or whatever. I don't think we have the same concept of a person going home from work. Rabbanim have always had this problem, but even people who work in other fields, it's not nearly as clear to me that there's such a thing as you go home and you leave work. Since people really work on the internet, people work in cyberspace nowadays, so they never really are disattached from the cyberspace, even if technically speaking they have an office in a workplace, that certainly does not define them or circumscribe them from a working perspective. So it could be that this particular cooler is not one that could really be relied upon nowadays. One would have to rely more upon the vacation of cooler, but it's not even as pushy that people with all these devices really have vacation nowadays. But in order to avoid this serious consideration of not acting like a button, whether it's under the rice level, whether it's under the bottom level, people should take their vacations much more seriously and recognize that if they're constantly working, no matter where they are, whatever, what setting they're on, even when they're supposed to be on vacation, they could actually, if they have a long-term employment contract, they could actually be running afoul of Kili B'nai Yisrael above them. So this is one very important conclusion that emerges from our discussion. And finally, the Chalkas Binyamin notes that these dinim apply equally to men as they do to women. The Issa applies to both. And even the dispensations, there is the Shita of the Balatanya. Balatanya says that while a woman would be equally proscribed, prohibited from entering into the long-term contracts, the assumption is that even though there is no obvious for a woman once she reaches, you know, the age of godless, she can't sell herself as a slave and she can't be sold into slavery beyond the point in which she could be an Amma Ibiya, but nonetheless, we don't find any distinction in the poskim with respect to these dinim. And therefore, the Chelkas Binyamin assumes that this dispensation that applies to a person who's really poor to enter into a long-term employment contract would apply to an Isha as well. But the Shulchan Aruch Harav says differently, says, no, she does have an Issa, a Kli B'nai Yisrael Avadim, but she doesn't have the dispensation since she never had that dispensation according to the Torah, since she couldn't sell herself into slavery altogether, even if she would be impoverished. So therefore, that dispensation doesn't apply to her. The Chelkas Binyamin is not convinced, and also it could be that even if, practically speaking, she's not, you know, included in the parasha, we don't necessarily find that there isn't a that if she would sell herself into slavery, it wouldn't work. And if it would work, maybe it would work. Even if it would work, presumably the same dispensation would apply to her as well. So what we saw is that a lot of the hakira with respect to this issue impinges upon the hakira with respect to a host of other issues. About number one, do we say about a poel that he's a gufo kanoi or not? And number two, even if a poel is not gufo kanoi, do we say that the way in which we define the rights and privileges of the way in which a poel can leave his employ are meant to be modeled after an Eved? And if they're modeled after an Eved, then that's precisely why we would have to be especially careful to make sure he not become a full-fledged Eved. If he starts off as an Eved and modeled after an Eved, then he not have a long-term employment like an Eved, because then that would be a violation of leaving his love other. Or do we say, no, the very fact that a poel can leave has nothing to do with the way an Eved leaves. It means that a poel is an independent autonomous figure, and therefore, as a result of that, the poel does not have to worry about the term of his employment contract, just the very fact that he has independent rights that are separate and distinct from that of an Eved shows from the outset that he's considered to be a poel as opposed to an Eved, and therefore even a long-term employment contract would be possible. And we showed a variety of different areas, including poel shechala, poel who wants to leave his employee and already got paid his full salary and doesn't have enough to reimburse the Baal Bais right away, poel who the Baal Bais would be able to hire somebody else at a cheaper rate, and it would be a windfall potentially for the poel. Does he get the same windfall that an Eved would receive? Can a Baal Bais get rid of his poel by simply saying Lech Imad Meimadi, or would they're saying Lech Meimadi not be good enough? So a number of different situations that this impacts upon and impinges upon. But even within the Shita of the Ramah, the Psak of the Ramah, one has to be machmir about these matters. We found a number of different mitigating and extenuating considerations that would enable a person to enter into a long-term employment contract if the occasion calls upon it in various different situations, particularly if the employment term is for less than 6 years. And it's important for us all to remember that regardless of the manifestations of this particular halacha and its various ramifications, that the spirit of the halacha is one that we should bear in mind very, very carefully, both when we serve as an employer and when we serve as an employee, that ki b'nei yisrael avadim v'lo avadim la'avadim, we should not work people like slaves, nor should we allow ourselves to be worked like a slave, except in our avodas Hashem.
Koach, yes, koach.
Oh, they didn't talk us here. Yes, Hashem. And just in time. Okay.